We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I like when people just talk to me. Gets me going. It's fun, man. It's basketball. There's going to be a lot of trash talking, and I like it. It's fun for me. It's competitive basketball, and I like it. So I don't care about Seth as long as we win, you know. If we win, I'm good. So the statistics really don't matter to me. But if we win, it's going to be amazing, you know. We got another game. I think we won this game on the defensive end. And we got another game, and it's fun, man. It's playoffs, and we're going to give our everything.
Hi, this is Luka Doncic, and you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. This is the latest installment of Mavs Step Back Live on Spotify Live. Matt, the Mavs have forced a Game 7 winner take all in the desert against the top-ranked Phoenix Suns, best team in the league. Man, this has just been a roller coaster of a series. I never would have thought, you know, even with my, I tend to be irrationally optimistic at times, but when the Mavs went down 0-2 to start this series, the way they looked for the majority of those first two games, I did not think that this series would be going to seven. But here we are. Luka, he was magnificent in game six, despite not shooting great from the field. Like, we're still waiting on a really good Luka shooting game. And man, hopefully we can get that in game seven. But Luka, he's been himself throughout this entire series. You know, the numbers are there. He's made an impact. It's just a matter of, and I saw Scott Van Pelt on ESPN last night. He mentioned this too. It's like, how do they get the role players to bring what they've done at American Airlines Center in this series? How do they get that to translate over to Phoenix for a road game? Because they have not played well on the road. In game five on the road when they got beat, it was Luka and Jalen Brunson scoring 49 points combined. The rest of the team had 31 points. So that's obviously not going to cut it. They need to find a way to, you know, translate some of that to the road. And hey, look, now the Suns are facing elimination too. And, you know, Chris Paul, he's blown 2-0 series leads four times in his career so far. If we wake up Sunday or Saturday night, if it's the early game, and they say that, the game will be at 2:30 or 7 on Sunday, but I'm saying if it's 2:30, then I think they'll probably announce the officials for that game Saturday night, if I'm not mistaken. If they come out and say Scott Foster is doing this game seven, I'm going to, like, go streaking or something. Like, I'm really, really going to start to believe at that point. But, Matt, we got a lot of people in the queue here, so I'll get people up quickly and they can give their thoughts on that game six and everything. But just briefly, what was going through your mind last night as the Mavs forced a game seven?
This series is just so weird. That's the only thing I could think of the entire time. It's I can't get my head around it. You know, I thought the series was over after game five. It looked like Phoenix was just kind of like, all right, this thing's over. We're going to come out here and just step on your throat. And then last night, it looked like the total opposite. And Luka kind of had a look in his eyes last night that he was just out for blood, which is nice. You know, you like to see, you know, him not being discouraged after that game, but in game five, but you kind of figured he wouldn't be though, after what he said when he was coming off the court about, you know, about Devin Booker and all that trash talk and everything. So I like the resilience. I like the fight. I just kind of hope that they can, like you said, translate it to Phoenix, because if they can't, then, you know, it could be another ugly game. And I don't know. I didn't watch Scott Van Pelt last night. I don't know what they said about it or how they, you know, rationalized them being able to do that. But, I mean, this is the end of the line. So it's either, you know, excuse my French, shit or get off the pot. And tonight is, or tomorrow, or what is it? Blah, blah, blah. It's a long day, people. Sunday is going to be, it's going to say a lot about this team.
It's the only game of this entire series that has had an extra day of rest in between it. You know, up until this point, it's been every other day is a game, which, you know, I don't mind that. You know, get the guys some rest. It's like they're not just getting off the plane and going directly to the court. Maybe that'll help, you know, the role players get going on the road. There's a couple things working in the Mavs' favor here. I mean, one, Luka just turns into, like, he just goes into God mode when he's facing elimination. He has the highest points per game average in elimination games in NBA history for people who have at least been in three elimination games so far. So you got that going for you. Dorian Finney-Smith, after he was just amazing in game four, he's had a couple of clunkers here back-to-back. I don't expect that to continue. I think he'll get back on track. And have, you know, a big game. He tends to step up in big games. We talked about Spencer Dinwiddie, how he needed to kind of have a good shooting game for once, and he did. He came out and shot 5 of 7 from three in game six. Looked much more like the Spencer Dinwiddie we saw towards the end of the regular season for the Mavs. So that's very encouraging. I mean, the defense has been amazing. I mean, even in the first half of game five, you know, they had Phoenix on the ropes. You know, they're getting everything they want offensively. If they can just hit some shots, I think they'll be okay. Whatever happened in that third quarter of game five, I think that was more of like an outlier than like anything Phoenix did specifically to throw them off, because, you know, when you have 12 turnovers in one quarter, I mean, that's I don't care what you say. That I think that's more on the Mavs than, you know, anything that the Suns were doing specifically. But, I mean, yeah, I'm encouraged. This thing could go either way. I mean, look, I'm just happy. I'm so happy that the Mavs have, like, shown what they're capable of, and they've pushed this Phoenix team as far as they have. But I'm not content with that. I'm greedy, Matt. I want it to I want to go to the Western Conference Finals. I want the Mavs to play either the Grizzlies or the Warriors. It's probably going to be the Warriors, and, you know, have some more fun doing this stuff for at least one more round. But all right, guys, I'm going to start bringing people up. Max has been waiting very patiently, and then I'll get to Nick and Grayson here too. I see y'all on there. Max, what's up, man? How you doing after that awesome Game 6 win?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Super happy about the win. Just wanted to start off with that. I actually wasn't expecting it. I was thinking this was where they were really going to put the clamps down on us, but once again had another clunker from the Phoenix Suns, and I love to see it. I just had a couple things here though. First thing was, I just want more Frank Ntilikina. I don't care if he doesn't take one shot the entire game. I love seeing him out on the court.
It's crazy how, when I mentioned this last night, but it's like, you know, when this series kind of changed when Josh Green stopped playing, and I'm a Josh Green fan. Like, I like him. I think he has potential. He's just not quite there yet, even though he's shown us some flashes. But, you know, this series changed when they put Frank Ntilikina in, and his defense, he's got a 7'1" wingspan, and he has very obviously bothered Devin Booker and even Chris Paul when he switches on to him. So, you know, they're just I don't want to say that Frank Ntilikina has been like the biggest difference, but he has made an impact. You know, He's got the same defensive intensity as Josh Green, but he's a little bit more under control because he has more experience. And, you know, I have much more confidence in Frank Ntilikina spotting up for a corner three or something than I do Josh Green at this point. Because he shot nearly like 50% from the corners with New York his last season with them. So
if I had told you that Frankie Smokes was having an impact in a game six of a second round playoff series for the Mavericks like a year ago, people would have laughed me off the internet.
Yeah. I mean, it is crazy. Hey, that's what makes the playoffs so much fun, though. That's what made that 2011 title run so much fun, because you had like these random games. Like you had the Peja Stojakovic on the Mother's Day massacre against the Lakers. You had Corey Brewer earlier in that series. You know, he didn't score a bunch of points, but he had a big impact in their comeback in one of those games. You know, you just never know who's going to step up. So that has been a very fun development. But Max, you said you had a couple things. You had something else?
Yeah, and well, the other thing I was just going to say about that is they can't just use the Jazz model where they put Gobert, well, I guess it'd be Ayton or, you know, Biombo, and just hide them basically on Josh Green and just leave them in the paint basically and say, okay, we'll just let Josh Green hang out there and we're just going to double team Luka every time he drives. And I think that having Frank Ntilikina out there just spreads the floor at least a little bit, maybe even if it's just a few feet, you know, they at least have to respect it a little bit. But anyway, that's just my observation on it. But the other thing, you mentioned Dinwiddie. You know, I was actually really happy he went 5 of 7 from three, but I'd feel a lot better about it if he had gone like 7 of 13, but he was all twos and he was like taking it to the hole and putting pressure on him that way. Cause I feel like that is like more his game. I'm not as like confident that he can go to Phoenix and, you know, shoot that from three again, but I'm hoping eventually he'll find his confidence. I don't know what's going on, but like, it's just like every time he goes to the hole, he's just getting stuffed and not getting that many foul calls. Not trying to be too negative, but because he has been, you know, played a lot really well for us in the regular season, but I'm just hoping he'll find his game and confidence, like taking it to the hole. Cause that's where I feel like he was really, you know, such a contributor coming off of like Luka Doncic drives and then kickouts. And then, you know, off those kickouts, driving it, getting foul calls, and then actually finishing at the rim. So that was just my other comment for Dinwiddie. I'm just hoping that he can do that in Phoenix. And if he does, I think we have a really good chance.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And look, I appreciate you joining us, Max. Just to expand on some of the Dinwiddie stuff there before we go our next speaker here. I mean, look, it's one of those things where you're in the postseason, so you're obviously not going to get the same type of foul calls that you get in the regular season. Now, a foul is a foul, but it's just known that, you know, officials call things a lot tighter unless you're Devin Booker and you yell and make a face, and then they'll call that for him. But, you know, otherwise you know, they're not going to call a lot of ticky-tack stuff. And unfortunately for Dinwiddie, that has kind of affected his aggression and everything. I kind of wonder, and somebody brought this up to me the other day, you know, Dinwiddie mentioned that he came back sooner than what he should have because he wanted to go ahead and play for the Wizards after signing that contract. They didn't push him to do it. You know, he just wanted to come back and play as soon as possible. And he admitted that he came back a little bit too early. So, you know, fresh off of that ACL injury and coming back a little early, I'm almost wondering if, like, it's more fatigue with Dinwiddie right now more than it is, you know, him just, you know, regressing, and that's just who he is now is what we saw when he was with the Wizards. I kind of feel like fatigue might have something to do with it too. It has been a long season for him, and it's already tough to try and get back in a groove after you've been out for so long with a torn ACL. And then he had that stupid run for like 20-plus games with the Mavs at the end of the regular season where he just looked amazing. It's like, oh, man, is Dinwiddie now the Mavs' second-best player? Like, that's how good he was at the end of the regular season, so – I think it's more fatigue than anything else, but it was great to see him, you know, get some of his shooting touch back because he was shooting like 20% from three for the series until last night. So that was nice to see. Okay. Next up in the queue is Nick. Nick, what's up, man? How you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing awesome. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. It's always a good day when the Mavs get a big playoff win. I'm absolutely thrilled that this isn't a season obituary pod.
Yeah, no joke. Man, so I just kind of wanted to mention my optimism, I guess you could say. Ever since game three, I feel like the strategy has just been wear out Chris Paul, and it's pretty much worked since game three. And, you know, even in game five where we kind of unraveled, I felt like that was almost more of the Mavs losing that game than the Suns winning, if that makes sense, because we just weren't playing defense. Like, in these games where we play defense, we can play with literally anyone, and we're and we've shown that. And so if we can show up in Phoenix and play that desperation type of defense, I mean, I feel like it's a coin flip. Like, I think there's a good chance we can win it. And, you know, if we win game seven, I don't see why we couldn't win the whole championship, because I feel like we match up better with literally every other team in the league.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I agree with that. Look, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, if you look at the rest of the Western Conference standings or even in the East, like, the Mavs have played pretty good against everybody except for the Phoenix Suns. And, you know, they struggled a little bit against the Philadelphia 76ers, and they just got eliminated last night. So, you know, I'm with you. I mean, if they win this game seven, then – you know, all optimism's going through the roof. Like, they legitimately might find themselves in the NBA Finals. And that is just a crazy thing to say, you know, from a realistic standpoint right now. Like, it's just right. The fact that they might be in the finals. But, look, I mean, it's looking like it would be the Warriors if they do win. They won the season series against them 3-1. Going from playing against Phoenix's defense and their length to – you know, what the Warriors present on that side of the floor, and especially with Draymond Green looking like he's starting to slow down a little bit as these playoffs progress. I feel like the Mavs could make short work of the Warriors. I'm not going to discount what Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and all them have done over the years, but I just think this Mavs team matches up extremely well against Golden State, and I'd love to see it. But look, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think from the beginning, I think Phoenix was our worst possible matchup. And so, like, the fact that we're pushing this to seven games, it's given me so much optimism. And having these perimeter defenders like Bullock this year, Dorian taking another step, like, it's just awesome to see what this team can be. And so Yeah, I feel really good. I originally thought we would lose in six or seven, but at this point, I'm kind of thinking it's a coin flip, and I think there's a good chance we win it.
There is a lot of pressure on the Phoenix Suns. Like, I've said this ever since, I think it was game three and game four, but the Mavs are playing with house money. I mean, nobody expected them to win this series, and now here they are. They've pushed it to a game seven. You have the pressure of Chris Paul potentially losing his fifth series of his career where he was up 2-0. Devin Booker has never played in a game seven, so he doesn't know what that pressure is like. The Mavs, they played in a road game seven last year against Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers, so they have some experience here, trying to turn the tables this time around. So, I mean, I'm with you. I think there's a very good chance they can win it. It just depends on how they come out and how their role players are shooting the ball. Because, I don't think we're going to have any kind of like real extended lapses on defense. I think the defense is going to show up. It's just a matter of if shots fall. If they can hit some threes on the road, I think this is going to be a wrap. And like I said earlier, we still haven't had a good Luka shooting game. Like, he's been amazing. He's put up all these great numbers. He's playing defense. He had 4 steals in game 6 after he had 3 in game 5. And, he's doing all this stuff, and yet he still hasn't gotten that touch on his shot, like, for a full game yet. We haven't had just one of those flamethrower Luka shooting nights. And maybe we won't get that in game 7, but I just feel like he's due, man. I feel like he is due to have a really good shooting night, and I hope it happens on the biggest stage in a game 7. That would be incredible. But, I mean, just putting some more context on what we're watching right now, the Mavs had lost 11 games straight to the Suns before they won game 3. They've now beaten the Suns 3 out of 4 times. And they outplayed them for the first half of game 5, the game that they ended up losing in a blowout because of that just god-awful third quarter. I don't know what happened there, but they have outplayed the Suns for the majority of these last 4 games, and Jason Kidd has just coached circles around Monty Williams, who just won Coach of the Year in this series. Monty Williams has not been able to make an adjustment that has worked for the Suns in this series. I mean, yeah, in game 5 he played Landry Shamet and Bismack Biyombo instead of Cameron Payne and JaVale McGee. And, that seemed to help a little bit towards the end of the game. But, I mean, I didn't think it was the difference in the game. They didn't make a difference in game 6. I think it was just more of a, scenario where the Mavs kind of shot themselves in the foot. So, yeah, I don't know.
I totally agree.
I'm optimistic.
I totally agree. I think in game 5, I mean, for at least a quarter and a half, we looked like the better team. And once things started to unravel, it just kind of felt like we were tired out there. We weren't playing defense. Like, it just really felt like we lost that game. And so I think if we get out there and we have the energy and we continue to attack Chris Paul and wear him out, I feel good. So I'll get out of here, though. I'll let somebody else come up. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you joining us, Nick. And look, I mean, I think the strategy of just wearing out Chris Paul is amazing. He turned 37 during this series. He can only do so much. I mean, as good as he is, Luka's the bigger player. Jalen Brunson, I would say, is stronger than Chris Paul at this point. So hunting him on switches and making him work as hard as possible has been the best thing the Mavs could do this series. And then they know that he's tiring out too, because like we saw last night, they, instead of just putting all of their focus on CP3, they went after Booker more. They sent more doubles. They had more stuff going to try and stop Booker specifically than CP3, because they kind of knew, like, okay, this guy hasn't been himself for 4 games now. He's making uncharacteristic turnovers and everything. And that kind of gives the Mavs the upper hand, if that continues going into game 7.
I have zero doubt that Chris Paul is going to find another way to choke in this series. And it may not result in the Mavs winning or not, but I still think that he's going to end up choking. And if the Suns win, it's going to be because of Devin Booker or DeAndre Ayton or somebody else. It's not going to be Chris Paul.
Well, I mean, look, I think that I'm not going to underestimate Chris Paul because we've seen him torture the Mavs over the years. And just when you think you might have it figured out, you know, I don't want to see Chris Paul come out there and have like one of those, hey, look, I'm a future Hall of Famer, torch you for 30 plus points and kind of like what he did in game two. So I'm not expecting that, but I'm not going to, you know, put it out of the picture either. I respect what he's capable of doing based on what I've seen him do against the Mavs in the past, but hopefully it plays out in the Mavs' favor. But Grayson, I'm going to get you up here now. What you got for us today?
Well, on the subject of CP3 and his history, I mean, no disrespect, he's one of the greatest point guards of all time, but his teams have always been front-running teams. I mean, you punch Chris Paul in the mouth, and he has a hard time responding. And I think that's been true for most of his career, to Matt's point. The Suns are front runners. And again, I don't want to disrespect them too much because they're arguably the best team in the NBA this year. I mean, record wise, obviously they are. And they're stacked. But I really do think they're front runners. They don't respond well to controversy. And I think even some Suns fans will tell you that. Anyway, my main point that I wanted to talk about is just, I'm so proud of this team, man. I mean, I don't want to say that I didn't believe that this could happen because, you know, if you don't believe, you shouldn't be here. But this did surprise me, I'll say that. For them to be going into a Game 7 against this insanely talented Suns team is incredible. I mean, it's really incredible. I'm so proud of them. And obviously, I want them to go into Phoenix and kick ass. But even if they don't, this season has been an overwhelming success in my mind. I mean, they've exceeded really my wildest expectations.
I mean, it's a positive, no doubt. I mean, I try to, and I put this in my game recap on DallasBasketball.com last night. You know, I try not to word it as if I think the Mavs are going to lose Game 7 because I think they have a legit shot of winning it. But, you know, if worst case scenario, if they just can't get the role players to translate their play that we've seen at American Airlines Center over to Phoenix and they do end up losing, I mean, it's this season is a success. And, I mean, I know there's no moral victories and the overall goal is to win the championship. And they'll probably say, well, we failed our overall goal or something like that. Or at least Luka will. I mean, I just don't think that's the case. I mean, this team, they finally got over the first round hump, which you have to do. Like, you have to take steps like that. They finally got over the first round hump. They wanted to get to the three seed so they could, you know, avoid playing Phoenix as long as they could, but it didn't happen that way, so they ended up playing them in the second round. And, you know, it's worked out as well as you could ask for. I mean, Who could have asked for more than this? It's a game set. It's a winner take all game 7 in Phoenix with the Mavs and Suns, and the Mavs have the best player on the court, which automatically gives them a really good chance of winning because they have the best player. I mean, that's really all you can ask for. So let's see how it goes.
Right, and to that point, my roommate is a Suns fan, so obviously I've been watching all these games with him. And after game 6 last night, He was distraught. Like, he was really upset. And I was like, what's wrong, man? I mean, like, obviously we won by like 30, but you guys have a game 7 in Phoenix and we haven't won there yet. And he's a big gambler. And he looked at me and he just goes, I would never bet against Luka Doncic. and that made me, I kind of blinked a little bit because I was like, holy shit, he's right. And sorry, pardon my French, but he's right. I would never bet. Like, if I was not a Mavs fan and I was looking at this game from a more objective standpoint, you would be insane to bet against Luka Doncic in a game 7, especially after Devin Booker gave him and his team this insane motivation by doing that Luka special thing that he said in game 5. I mean, I don't know how much extra motivation Luka needs, but it really seemed like it fired up his teammates. I mean, I think Reggie said after the game that they didn't appreciate that comment. And it showed. Reggie shot, what, 50% from three last night, 46 from three last night. I mean, he was great. Again, I'm just so proud of them. And I'm so excited for Sunday because they – I don't remember the name of the guy who came up before me, but he's right. This is a coin flip. I would not be surprised if they win. I would not be surprised if they lose. And that is an incredible situation to be in, and I'll take it, obviously.
100%. And look, I mean, I don't know what the Suns thought they were doing in this series. I mean, you'd think they'd learned their lesson because after game two, they had that press conference thing with CP3 and Devin Booker where they were asked about hunting Luka on defense or, you know, hunting Luka while Luka's playing defense. And they just kind of looked at each other sarcastically, and it was that people made a big deal out of that. Well, you know, that pissed off Luka and his teammates. And so they come back and win games three and four. And then they go to Phoenix for game five. They're playing well, but then things fall apart. You know, the Suns got a lot of, you know, very favorable calls in that game. And then you have the thing where Devin Booker flopped and it turned into a Dorian Finney-Smith flagrant foul. And he looked to the fans and called it the Luka special. And then you had the thing at the end of the game where they were up 28 with just a few seconds left and Bismack Biyombo was still trying to dunk it, you know, to pour it on. There's just been like, why do the Suns keep thinking that disrespecting Luka and the Mavs is going to get them anywhere? Like if they didn't do that and add that extra motivation, there's a good chance they might have, you know, finished this series off a little bit sooner. But look, I'm here for it. Like, continue to piss these guys off.
it's like the Heat Dirk moment.
It is.
Where with LeBron and Dwayne Wade when Dirk was sick.
It is. Like, what are they doing?
Everyone
why
acts
do they think
tough
this
when
is
they're
gonna
up,
work man. Out for them.
Everyone acts tough when they're up.
Exactly.
Lucas said it best, and I don't really have much else to say. I'm just so excited, and I'm going to take this energy that I have and use it in my life and try to like do well on my finals and stuff. So I appreciate the Mavs for that. Cause this has been a great week. And like you said earlier, I think they figured something out in game three. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
Well, I appreciate you joining us, Grayson. And look, I'm just thrilled. I had to listen to the first 2.5 quarters of last night's game on the radio, and I got home and got to watch the rest of it to do the recap and everything. I'm just so thrilled for this game seven because we have Luka Doncic, y'all. I mean, the guy is incredible. And like we've said earlier, when you have the best player in the series, you have a legitimate chance of winning. And I hope that, you know, we're preparing for either a Mavs Warriors or Mavs Grizzlies Western Conference Finals, you know, in the next 48 hours or so. So, guys, appreciate it. We will see you next time. Be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. We appreciate every one of you. Hope you have a good weekend.